This episode is brought to you by Maybelline New York. Get ready to bring the heat with Maybelline's newest lip plumping gloss, Lifter Plump. Fair warning though, it's hot. Like, literally. It's formulated with chili peppers to bring a heated sensation and an instant plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Hot Honey, and more. Buy Lifter Plump now on Amazon and use the code 10PLUMP to get 10% off for a limited time. Tap the banner to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week, I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. My passenger today is a fitness phenomenon. He's expecting his third child. He's getting an MBE this week at Windsor Castle, and his brilliant new book, Feel Good Food, is out now. Plus, he's flying Alan Air today. What a year he's having. Welcome on board, Joe Wicks. This is the final boarding call for Joe Wicks. This is the final boarding call for Joe Wicks. Joe Wicks, this is the final boarding call. Joe! Joe! Please come to the gate. Look who we got on board. Joe Wicks, how you doing, Joe?
I'm good. I can't believe I'm in your living room. It's a beautiful
it's
house.
It's not a living room, it's a plane.
Sorry, I can't believe I'm on this plane with you. Oh. It's amazing. Thanks for inviting me as a guest.
You spoil it now. People do believe we're on a plane. What are you like when you're on a plane? Do you... Because, you know, obviously, fit and healthy and stuff. When they're pushing that trolley down and they're saying panini and you can bump it up, have a twirl. How do you say no?
I'm a nightmare on flights. I don't know why. I just can't resist the chocolate. You know, sometimes there's a chocolate box and they'll bring it around, and I'm always the one saying, can I have another like snack or, you know, treat and stuff? But I'm quite boring. I don't, because I stuff myself at the airport. I don't like airplane food. So I have a big meal at the airport.
Yeah,
I jump on the plane and I'm normally just like straight into a movie, but I can't stop eating chocolate. I raid the Cadbury box. I'm on there eating all the chocolates.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your favourite chocolate?
Well, on there, you're probably looking at little mini... They're little twirls. They don't give you the full ones. They're like little mini ones. Or buttons. You know, I normally get buttons with popcorn and some, like, something savoury, like a pretzel. But no, I love snacking. And I think on a flight, it's just like you're watching movies, you're trying to settle in. Yeah. But I do have two little rugrats in me now, don't I? So I've got a three-year-old girl called Indy and a little boy called Marley. So a flight now is more like... It's like an obstacle course. It's like you've got to distract them. You've got to have your books ready. You've got to have your games. You know, you spot the difference. Just constant distraction, because otherwise it's quite a tough thing, you know, especially when you're going to LA, 12, 11 hours or whatever.
Congratulations. You got another baby on the way.
Yeah, number three, mate.
That's
I can't
amazing.
Believe it.
Are you crazy?
Well, when I find out about these things, I want to announce it to the world straight away. But Rosie was like, can we just wait? And obviously, when she gave me the green light, I was straight on Instagram. Look, I'm having another baby. And it's so lovely. People are so... Because they've watched my journey from the start of, you know, being like the lean in 15 guy with no kids or anything to now being a parent. I think people really celebrate that and they love seeing their kids.
And listen, we had Louis Theroux around here. He is well fit.
Mate.
Until down to you, isn't it? He's got abs.
So Louis Theroux is one of my favourite documentary makers of all time. I've watched so many of his shows over and over again, like the Weird Weekends and all the prison ones and stuff. And during lockdown, I saw this clip on YouTube and it said, it was Louis Theroux saying, I do this thing called the Joe Wicks workout every day. And that was the first time I got proper excited, because I'd obviously heard people taking part. But when I saw Louis there, I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So I invited him on my podcast, and then he said, oh, if we ever want to do a show together, a documentary or anything, I'll produce it. So he's produced my new documentary, which is around, you know, parental mental health and my childhood experience. And to talk about it, I got him round. We done a pee with Joe workout in my living room.
Yeah.
And I absolutely smashed him through the workout. And I thought, he's 51 years old. He's in amazing shape. Then I said, look, I've got a challenge for you. I've got an ice bath down in my garden.
Oh, I saw this on Instagram.
Do you fancy it? And he's the kind of guy that he's up for anything. And we filmed it as well. So he's taken his shirt off and I've gone, Louis, you are in incredible shape, mate.
Yeah.
51 years old, his abs are popping.
Yeah.
Because he goes, Joe, religiously, 5 days a week, I'm doing your HIIT workouts on YouTube. And, you know, he's an example. Like, you can do 25 minutes a day. You're consistent. You can have a, you know, really good physique.
Yeah, because he raves about, you know, Now, I saw you getting in that bloody ice bath. It takes your breath away. You were like, I thought, wait a minute, his voice is telling a very different story.
It never feels easier, but it does. You know, the first time you have a cold shower, it's grim. You hate it. You're in and out in about 10 seconds. But I think you can kind of build up your tolerance. And I was impressed because he's never been in there. And first time he went in there, he done 90 seconds, which is quite a long time in really cold water. And then you see him getting out and he's shaking and he's going, oh, it's too cold. And he's doing all the horse, they call it the horse stance, where it's like the Wim Hof kind of breathing thing, where you stand like in a squat and you show, ooh, ha, ooh, ha, ooh, ha. And you sort of bring the energy back before you get in the hot, because it's too uncomfortable. If you jump straight in like a hot, say you jump in a sauna or a jacuzzi, your skin goes all weird and tickly and like tingly. Yeah.
Because it ravages your testicles. That's why I don't do it. Honestly, mine went inwards. I had an innie.
Oh, you've tried it?
Yes!
Yeah, you can't see your willy and your nuts for about 2 hours.
Yeah, they go inwards. I don't know where. I'm like, where have it gone? I thought it had fallen off in the bath.
Yeah, don't try and have any nookie after that. You need to leave it a few hours.
Rub up against a patio heater.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Chocolate buttons. In my mouth. They're so Moorish.
Listen, we've got to talk about your book, Joe Wicks, Feel Good Food. Do you know what I love about it?
What's that?
It looks so tasty. And do you know what? I like all the ingredients. I can find the ingredients. Because you know when you get these books and there's like star anise and all this shit. And you're like, where the hell am I going to buy that from?
Yeah, kombucha. What's all that? Where'd you get all that?
Yeah, this is so easy. So good.
I think that's the reason my books do well, is because it's like I taught myself to cook. Yeah. I keep it simple and I make it fun and accessible. I think people, remember my early Lean in 15 videos, was to throw the food in and all that.
Yeah, straight in like that, dead easy.
And I think it's just about speed. People are so busy. So if you can give people healthy recipes that are quick, they're going to actually give it a go. And what I love about this book as well, it's got 100 recipes and every single recipe has got a photo. So you know sometimes you open a recipe and you just see the method and there's no image. Yeah. You want to see what you're going to cook, don't you?
And there's photos of you eating in it, because sometimes you don't see them eating. Like, why aren't you eating your own food?
Well, look, the best part about making a book is the photo shoots, because then you get to actually cook and try and eat all the food. So that was a shoot at the house with Rosie and the kids, and we were stuffing ourselves in the garden one summer's day. And it brings the book to life, I think, having a few photos like that.
Definitely. And do you know what you've got as well? Sweet treats as well, because that's me, because you have your savoury. I need a bit of sweet.
Well, what have I brought for you as a little gift?
And I couldn't believe it when you brought up, turned up with a Nutella. And Nutella and strawberry croissant.
Yes, and it's a croissant stuffed with Nutella with a lovely strawberry on top. And I thought, come with a nice sweet treat. You're going to enjoy that. It's a nice way to start the day.
And I couldn't believe this. You've got like a massive loaf in there. You said you love carbs. Yeah. I love carbs. How come you look like that and I look like this?
Well, my kryptonite is actually marmalade on toast. I'm crazy for it. If I've got a sourdough loaf like that, that would last about 2 days in my house. Because whatever time of day, if there's nice cold marmalade in the fridge and there's a good bit of sourdough, it's like my kryptonite. It's like every day I want to just eat slices of that.
Isn't that funny? You're so relatable. That's why you're so popular and successful. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm like that.
Well, I think when you show the realness, when you know, obviously I eat good food and I exercise, but if I stay up late, when I stay up between the hours of, say, 10 and midnight, I'm like a little weasel in the cupboard, going through the cupboards like a raccoon. And Rosie can hear me. And so the later I stay up, the more junk I eat. And I share that on my stories, and people love it because they go, that's exactly what I'm like. The later I stay up, I'm in there eating the hobnobs, eating the ice cream and the chocolate. And I'm the same as any other human being.
This is me. Because, you know, they say don't eat after 6 p.m. Is that bollocks? Because I don't eat at 6. And then, like 1 minute to midnight, I suddenly snap and then eat a whole packet of hobnobs. And I'm like, oh, my God, I've had like 3,000 calories before I've gone to bed.
It's bollocks, that whole myth, like you shouldn't eat after 6 p.m. Right. But what I'll say is I find, like, the longer I stay up, the more I eat. And so my philosophy is, like, get to bed earlier, because you all those hours of eating, snacking and eating crisps and sort of cheese and crackers at 11:30 at night, you know, when you sleep, you eat less food and you also wake up with more energy. So it's like I always say the foundation of your health and fitness and your mental health really is on the sleep.
Yeah.
It's the first thing you should get right. Get that right.
How do you get to sleep early?
It's a real, it's a discipline thing. You have to be willing to sacrifice certain things. Like, I love Netflix. I love a documentary.
Yeah, I love all that.
I love TV. I like scrolling on social media and you get distracted because we've had a long day and you want to have a bit of me time, right?
Yeah.
But if you sacrifice sleep, if you deprive yourself of sleep and you try and run a 4 or 5 hours sleep, which I'm sure in your industry you've probably done that for years.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
And you think, I'm fine, I can get on 4 or 5 hours sleep. I'm creative. I'm up. All my ideas coming at 2 or 3 in the morning. But it catches up on you and you find it hard to wake up with energy, to exercise, to cook, you know, your food choices change. So it's a case of, like, for me, leave the phone downstairs, get to bed as early as I can. Yeah. So let's say I'm in bed by 9, half 9. Then I've got a
half nine. I'll give over, love.
I've got kids as well. But the thing is, if I don't, I'm up till midnight and I'm getting 5 hours sleep. So I have to make a decision. But
half nine.
When do you go to bed?
1 a.m.
So, and do you have a lay in though? How many hours?
No, I don't. This is my problem. I'm buzzing. I get up at like 6 a.m. I look like shit. 5 hours sleep and I can't get back to sleep.
And do you find it hard to exercise when you have 5 hours sleep? Because I couldn't.
I can't exercise. I do exercise. But listen, my body works against me. Listen to this. How weird is this, Joe? I was on the running machine. I got a treadmill. This bit, you know, this fat bit here that hangs over the thing? That went over the top of the handlebar and pressed the red button.
The old emergency stop button.
It pressed the emergency stop. It stopped me. It was also like stopping me from exercising. How can you do that when your body's against you?
Oh, no. No, he's trying to say, come on, keep going. Don't give up. Get back on it. But, you know, I think the thing about sleep, it's like sleep is so important for your mind as well. But, you know, some people can get by on 4 or 5 hours, hours sleep. But there's loads of science to show that it decreases your testosterone levels. Yeah, it affects your hormones, you know, stress. And also, when we have sleep deprived, men especially can store a lot of fat through their midriff. So you could be exercising and eating well. But if you're only getting 4 or 5 hours sleep, you're going
to
struggle.
Getting sleep, yeah. That's what I'm going to do. That's my problem.
Sleep is king. But, mate, when you throw kids in, like obviously my kids...
Oh, God, what time do your kids get up?
They get up about 7, but Indy sleeps through, but Marley, he wakes up still 2 or 3 times a night. So broken sleep is much harder to get up with energy and go, right, I'm ready for a workout. But yeah, it is. I think people need to really get their sleep right and everything else was a lot easier in life, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And this book's perfect because it's out this week. Perfect because summer's coming up. You want to get beach body ready. Now, I've just gone for a divorce. I said to my trainer, I want a revenge body. I think he heard, I thought I said blancmange body. what would you say, just quick thing now, I want to be beach body ready. And say you've got like a couple of weeks, what can I do?
Well, I suppose the thing about this message with this book is that you, my philosophy around food and fitness, it was very much based around lean in 15, it was like change the body.
Yeah.
It is a big, and it will always be a big motivator, but this book, Feel Good Food, I want you to tap into the mental health benefits of exercise. Yeah. Right. So firstly, if you wake up with energy, you've got the time to exercise, you're going to want to do it for your mind, to feel good, to feel less stressed, especially coming through something difficult, like emotional. Do it for those reasons, and the fat loss will come, the muscle will come.
So don't do it out of revenge.
No, do it. Look, you're going to... I mean, everyone wants to just get fit and...
Look at me now. Ha, ha, ha.
But there's going to be days
that
where...
That sounded so desperate.
There will be days when you're like, you don't have the energy or the motivation to do it. But, and to think it's just about losing weight, sometimes it's not going to motivate you.
I know that. I'm joking.
But
because
to get ready, it's about being consistent, right? So consistently training. It doesn't need to be like an hour or two a day. It can be 30 minutes a day.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
Home workout or, you know, even things like jogging or going for a walk. It's all movement's good for you, right?
Yeah.
So if you find that a treadmill is boring and you don't enjoy it, maybe go for a walk or run around the lovely park and you get a bit of fresh air. So I think consistency all year round is important.
Because if you go out for a walk, you're winning, aren't you? Because you've got off your arse.
Yeah, and you feel like you've got a bit of fresh air and it clears your mind. And I think a lot of people are so focused on exercise for fat loss and losing inches and stuff, and they forget the important things, which is how it really makes you feel. It changes the way you see the world, and you're more optimistic, I think. After you work out, it can transform the way you think.
Definitely. Where are you going to go on holiday? Are you going to go on holiday this year? And what are you going to do if you got a pregnant... Did you go on still on
Rosie's
holiday?
Pregnant, but she can still travel like up till, you know, near the end.
I never know with pregnant people how much they can do. Can they operate machinery?
Yeah, no, she's doing all sorts. She's still deadlifting and doing her squats and all that. Yeah, she's good.
Good for her!
You want to stay... You know, the idea when you're pregnant is to just, you know, try and maintain your strength because it helps with the labour and stuff. But we're going to LA and on the 1st of April. I'm going to a stag do. I'm going to Coachella.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going with Rosie and the kids. I'm doing the first weekend with my mates, and then I'm tag team, and I'm going home, taking the kids, and she's going for the second weekend with her friend, Michaela.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, because I want her to still enjoy her, you know, I want her to still enjoy her things if she didn't have to think about the kids. So we have that relationship where we can sort of tag team. I'll take them for a weekend. She can have a lovely time away. And yeah. It's nice like that. You've got to enjoy it because otherwise you miss all those things as a mum and a dad.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't want to feel like you're missing out and stuff. I mean, do you like LA? Because I've seen on your Instagram, you like Santa Monica. You've been there a few times. What do you like about it?
Yeah, I bought a house there about 5 years ago, and we usually spend like a couple of months there, so like maybe October to December, like the winter months. And I just love the lifestyle. I love, you know, Venice Beach and Santa Monica. And
yeah.
I go to go on the pier with the kids, and I go down to Gold's Gym in Venice and train. And I, you know, like I'm in there in the morning, and then Arnie's there. Like, it's just a mad place. Arnie still trains there. Yeah,
is he still like, hello? Does he know who you are?
No, I'm not.
Hello, Joe Wicks.
I'm pretty much unknown there. No one recognises me there, which is completely different to obviously.
That's nice, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a nice contrast from being because obviously P with Joe like just blew everything up, so now like kids and like a lot of families will recognise me, whereas out there it's sort of like the opposite and we can sort of chill. And but yeah, I just, and obviously the weather is amazing. We're all like riding along on our little bikes and we've got electric scooters and stuff, and
it's just a different life. The time I've been out there, it's a different lifestyle than over here. Because the sun's out, you will maybe have a salad or you will hire bikes, where in London I don't sort of feel like that. But it's weird. I think it's the sun, it's the vitamin D, and everyone else is doing it. Everyone's jogging along Venice Beach, so you don't feel...
Yeah, it's like, and you just see, like, I get inspired. Like, I go to the gym and I'll see, like, you know, 60, 70-year-old guys.
Well,
like,
Arnie, how old's Arnie now?
He must be in his late 60s.
Does he still look good?
He still looks good. Mate, he's still training hard as well. Like, you can see him training hard. But there's guys on the beach doing pull-ups, like 70-year-old guys. And you think, you really can have a healthy life if you continue that lifestyle. And I think I think Southern California is the home of, like, outdoor fitness. And people really caring about their bodies and their minds, I think.
Please don't stand on my mat. I'll be back. Ha, ha, ha. It is a joke.
So tell us, where do you go in the world for sexy time? What's a sexy place? Do you like Paris, Rome?
Oh, well,
what's a sexy city?
I mean, we love having a weekend away. Like, obviously with the kids now, we might go up to Soho Farmhouse for a couple nights.
Yeah, Cotswolds
is nice. But the place I think of with Rosie, where we first went for our first ever break, was Barcelona. Oh. We stayed at the W Hotel in Barcelona.
Oh, and that's the one right at the end over the beach, isn't it? Oh, lovely.
And had this amazing room, and I was just proper falling in love with her. And I just remember being there thinking, I was just so happy. We were like we rented electric scooters and we were whizzing around Barcelona along the beach and stuff. And yeah, that's the kind of place I sort of have fond memories with. So
yeah. And the food's great there as well, isn't it?
And yeah, they do a naughty pile of that, don't
they?
Yeah. And Ibiza, after the wedding, so we got married in the UK, and me and Rose had a little four-day sort of short little honeymoon in Ibiza in this beautiful hotel. And what I realised, Ibiza, it's obviously a massive party island, but there's some really beautiful, like, you know, resorts and kind of healthy sort of, you know, farm sort of style restaurants and stuff. It's an amazing place to go, actually.
Someone actually said on here it's an island of two halves. It either brings out your best side or your naughty side. So you can, there's a whole half, because people think it's all... Au revoir. But actually, you can go and do a bit of yoga and, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not carnage. You can have fun there.
Yeah, I didn't know there was that side of the island, because I've only ever been to, like, you know, the Pasha and all the big clubs.
Oh, yeah,
and
I love
stuff,
all that.
I actually realised you can actually go. There's beautiful... There's a big food culture there, like sort of farm to table. So there's people with beautiful farms, like growing the veg and then making all these wonderful foods. So, yeah, Ibiza's a beautiful island, actually. Mm. Definitely worth a visit.
Where did you go on holiday when you were a kid?
So when I was a kid, it was mainly Butlins, Bognor Regis.
Lovely, love
Bognor. And we used to go camping in the south of France. And my mum and dad would literally pick us up on the last day of school, would drive to the south of France in a mini. So me, my dad,
my brother, a mini.
The old school mini, this is in the early 90s. We'd sleep in the car and my dad would sleep under the car. I remember my dad used to sleep under the mini, and then we'd obviously eventually get down to, like, say, the south of France. We'd be in a campsite for sort of 6 weeks, and we lived off of, I really remember this because we were skinned, and we lived off baguettes and Nutella. So we'd have it for breakfast, lunch and dinner. You'd have like a big, so you'd get two or three baguettes and just big jars of Nutella, and we'd have it breakfast, lunch and dinner every day. And just, we survived off that for like 6 weeks. And if we were lucky, we'd get a crepe, you know, the old crepes.
Yeah.
So if I ever eat Nutella, it does take me back to just like the south of France and just being a kid. You know, good memories as well.
Yeah.
So that was before you know, I knew my dad was an addict and stuff, but he just liked to drink and had a little smoke.
Yeah.
So it's like fun memories of just being kind of carefree as a family and not really worrying about anything.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice, that. Because my first car was one of those old minis. And if you went over 30 miles an hour, the bonnet flew up like that. But I'm 45. Back then, no one gave a shit about MOTs.
Yeah, it was all
your
dodgy, wasn't
it?
Your
dad just put a bit of sellotape on it to keep it down. But nowadays, you'd
be taking it off. The old snidey tax disc on the front window.
Yeah. Good old days. We could beat the system. I'm going to get arrested now, aren't I, saying that on the thing.
Jolla taxi, Sandy. Jolla taxi. Bonjour, Jolla taxi. Bonjour, ouvre la fenêtre. Baguette, delicious.
So did you have any holiday romances? Did you break any hearts down in the south of France? You're a good-looking bloke. Is there like a little waitress down there crying, waiting for Joe Wicks to come back?
No, I wasn't that confident as a young kid, but I do remember taking part in like the old, you know, like when we were in these campsites, you'd have like a talent show, so like a little, you know, all the kids would either do a dance or something. And I remember me and my brother Nicky used to sing, so we sung an East 17 song, and I've got this memory of singing it together.
That one.
Yeah, that one, the Christmas one, yeah.
And was it Christmas when you did it?
No, it wasn't Christmas, but that was the Christmas song, but super, just too squeaky, high-pitched voice. And I had really long hair, so I, up until the age of about 12, boys used to ask me out because I looked like a girl. I'd be at like Chesham World Adventures in the queue, and some boy would come up to me and go, "My mate really likes you." And I'd look round and I'd go, "I'm a fucking boy." But I looked so, I just had this, you know, feminine face, this long ponytail. Yeah. I really looked like a girl, like for years and years. So I used to say, "Yeah, no, piss off, I'm a boy, I ain't kissing him."
We've never had that answer when someone's come up before. That's funny.
"Excuse me, madam, can you put your tray table up? Madam, can you put your..." Oh, you're a man.
Do you complain, Joe? Does your wife do it, or do you complain? Are you a complainer?
About what, hotels and
hotels.
Things?
Say the room's dirty, or say you've had food and all that there and it's been cold. Do you complain, or do you just smile and nod? Do you do the British thing, or do you...
Yeah, no, I mean... I always find it difficult. Even if someone brings a steak and and it's like really, really undercooked or something, and I go, "Oh no, it's lovely."
Yeah.
I don't want to upset the staff and the waiters and stuff. But no, I mean, I'm not like naturally. I really find it hard when you speak to someone who's had a holiday and they go, "Oh yeah, it was all right, but I tell you what, the buffet weren't all that." Or you know, they find something. Whereas I'm more optimistic. I think I'd see the positives. You know what I mean? I'm not a moaner, but. I stay in nice hotels, but I also stay in, like, we went to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
We stayed in, like, beautiful little beach huts on the... So it's not always glamorous, high-end luxury hotels. I've always had that kind of nomadic lifestyle where, I'd go backpacking through uni and we'd stay in hostels. And even now, like, if I go to... I went to Costa Rica with Rosie and the kids and we just rented a car and every few days we'd move. We didn't know where we were going. Yeah. So I like that thing of just, like, finding somewhere, like a little spot and, you know, enjoying it for what it is. It doesn't have to be, like, a five-star hotel.
That was one of my best ever holidays, Costa Rica. I love it. And I know we're not all getting eco-friendlier, but it's one that's carbon neutral, isn't it? They seem to have got it just right. There's a real good energy there. The people are lovely. Did you go zip wiring?
Pura vida is their saying, which means pure life, isn't it? So that's their kind of their ethos. I didn't do the zip wire. I went through the jungle, forest walks, the canopy things.
Yeah.
And I went to this place called Tabacon Springs, which is beautiful, like waterfalls and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, wildlife. We're sitting in a restaurant in Costa Rica and a sloth climbed down from the tree and sat on our table. A real wild sloth. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's all the monkeys flying about. There's the howler monkeys. But
Yeah.
The sloths are really slow, and it took about half an hour, but it climbed down this tree like into the restaurant and just sat on our table and we were eating our dinner. I was like, that is insane.
We stayed somewhere in Costa Rica where it was no electricity, and we're going to stay there. Let's go back to nature. Oh, my God, I was bored. There was no telly. No lights. I kept walking into things. I left bruises. I had bruises on my thing.
That's the thing now, isn't it? People do like darkness retreats where you go into like a room, a completely like dark experience. You have you're almost like for a week, you're just, and apparently it's really trippy. You almost go into like a hallucinogenic kind of, meditative state where it's just no senses, just black. But
but I thought I'll have a lovely sleep. Bloody howler monkey outside me, huh?
You know? Oh my word, you literally sound like, that's exactly what they sound like.
That's what they sound like. And they're, I thought, really, oh, Alan, loud. No phone, no nothing, no electricity, none of that blue light, you know, which keeps you up at night. I thought, Alan, you are going to look $1 million. I left covered in bruises, looked like shit, eye bags like ball bags.
I wouldn't last 5 minutes in that kind of, like proper, like I need some connection. I need a little bit of entertainment. I need Netflix in the evening.
Yeah, yeah, because it gets boring otherwise, doesn't it?
I could do the whole day, you know, reading and just chilling by the beach, but I like to have that hour in the evening, like to watch a film or something on TV just to relax.
Yeah, yeah. What's on your wish list? Where do you want to go?
I really want to take the kids to Australia, because when I was 18, I went backpacking and I did the East Coast, so from Sydney up to Cairns, and I just had such good memories, like, you know, Byron Bay and Fraser Island, all them amazing places. Lovely, have you done all that? Have you been over
there? Done all that. And do you know what? We had we're lucky enough, we had a helicopter ride and we saw a whale with its baby. And I don't know what happened. Burst into tears. It's the most beautiful thing ever. And I weren't hungover or anything. I was like, there's something about them. And it's just one of the best things ever. So
yeah, the
gorgeous.
Wildlife out there is amazing. Yeah, I'd like to get out there, so, you know, just to do a little trip. And, you know, I'd like to also visit some schools. So I do a lot of school visits where I do workouts. Yeah. And I know a lot of families and schools in Australia did the Pee with Joe. So I'd love to make it kind of a travel trip, but also go to some schools and get some kids moving out there as well.
That would be great. Are you going to take the book over there? You've got a profile up in Australia.
Yeah, because HarperCollins published out there as well. So yeah, I'm doing that. And then in April next year, that book will publish in the US. So I'm going to go and have a little crack. I'm not going to be, you know, living out there full time, but a couple of trips throughout the year maybe just to let people know. It's a big place, so you've got to really work hard in America to be recognised and to be known. You've got to be doing like New York stuff. You've got to be doing LA, West Coast media. So it's a big old place to try and crack.
Well, I told someone I'm doing my stand-up tour in New York next year. I mean, a tiny little theatre, and I just told this journalist, then the next thing, Alan Carr's breaks America. I mean, I'm hardly going to break America. This theatre's about the size of a Portaloo. I mean, but you know what I mean. You've got to give it a go, haven't you? I'm no spring chicken. I just want to get out there and see. I'm all about having an adventure now. I think after COVID, I'm just throwing myself into things and just going. You've got to go, because, you know.
Is that your first show in the US then?
I've never done America before. I've done Australia, New Zealand, I've done Europe, but I've never done. I just thought, I'm going to do it, because I just get scared. I thought, oh, they got the same sense of humour as me? Can they understand me?
Yeah, they're going to love you out there. Now, you've got the energy. I think New York's a really buzzy place to do it as well. I think you're going to do really well there. Yeah, go for it.
Tell us a place you hated. And we're not slagging off. This is a safe space on Alan Air. You know,
I'll give you an
example. I always use this. Amanda Holden went to Cyprus, and the first time she went, she was caught in a mini hurricane, and she went, I'm going now, this is terrifying. She went, I'm going to give it another chance, went back there, broke a leg on a jet ski. So it's that kind of, you're not slagging off the place.
Yeah,
another
bad experience. Funnily enough, was in Barcelona. I went to Barcelona for my stag do with my mates.
Oh, yeah.
And we rented a little boat for the day, and sort of like just whizzing up and down. We had like, you know, like the old rubber dinghies and all that.
What kind of stag do was it? Did they tie you to a blow up doll? And was it like were you naked against the lamppost?
Well, basically, it was a bit of a washout, because we stayed at the W Hotel. There was like 10 of us, and we rented a boat. And I jumped in the sea, and you're going to think this is funny, but I got stung by a jellyfish. And the guy was like,
oh, no.
I said, I've been stung. And he went, no, there's no jellyfish in Barcelona. And there was loads of them. So I had all these tentacles, it was burning on my arm.
Oh, shit.
And then I was patting Mick for the old weekend. I was just rough, couldn't get out of bed, like, I just felt really ill. So that was a bit of a nightmare to stag do, because all my mates are out having a laugh, getting boozy, and I was in the bed just going to sleep because I didn't get to party.
Oh, my God. You know you meant to urinate on it. Did you know that?
Yeah, I don't think... I think he poured... He poured something on it, but no, it was just... It looked like a raised scar for like 3 or 4 months, like a big swollen... Big tentacle lines like that on my arm. It went in the end. So that's a memory that was like, yeah, I wish I could go back and do the stag do again, but I've missed that boat now, I think.
Because you know they say about urinating when you get like a jellyfish. That looks so weird if you're in the sea and then you're laying on the beach in agony, then someone just pisses on you. That's going to look so weird as a holidaymaker, isn't it? What the hell's going on?
You've also got to rely that, like, there's a mate there that's got a full bladder that's ready to win. Like, what if he's just been in the sea and had a wee in his wetsuit? It's not like everyone's got a big bladder full of wee on hand.
I know. There's definitely a flaw to that. What do you like abroad? Will you try the street food? Will you go out your comfort zone?
Yeah, I've done all that. So when I was 18, I went to like Singapore and Thailand. So I used to, you know, I lived on Koh Samui Road and it was like 10 baht pad Thai and all that.
Yeah.
And I'd still do that. I didn't try all the like the scorpions and all the like, you know, like the ants and all the weird cockroaches and things you can eat. But
no.
I did, street food. And I even now, like, I love going, you know, like these kind of pop-up dinorama places where you've got all the food markets.
Yeah, yeah.
I love trying food from different countries. So I went to one the other day and there was Elephant and Castle, and I had like Sri Lankan street food, and you've got, you know, Southern Indian, like, yeah, beautiful biryanis and things. And I love flavours. I think that's the thing about the book. I try and bring all the sort of cuisine from around the world, especially like Italian, because my grandma's Italian. So, you know, pasta dishes. Yeah.
And a bit of Mexican in here as well, isn't there? With the
some tacos
and stuff.
You don't look at that and think this is a diet book, but that's a book that, you know, and also I want you to understand the feel-good food message. It's not like chocolate's guilty and like avocado's good. It means feel good, like have energy, like wake up feeling like you're ready to have a workout and you've got all this like natural kind of positive energy in your body. And that's what I mean by feel good food. And it's about mental health.
Look at those fish tacos. God, I'm going to make them later.
Yeah, that's very like LA, that, isn't it?
Yeah,
Southern California,
yeah.
Like a lot of Mexican influence.
Yeah, poke bowls and stuff.
We are about to start our descent. Can you please put your tray tables up? Make sure your seats are back. Thank you, and seat belts on. Thank you for flying, Eleanor. Cross-check to manual, cross-check to manual. Thank you.
If you're on a long-haul flight, say you're going to Australia, what exercises can you do?
Oh, on the airplane? It's just, well, I mean, all you got is you're walking up and down, you know, a couple of little calf raises maybe, but...
Cartwheel?
Yeah, you could do a couple of cartwheels. I just have to move. I end up walking up and down. I end up chatting to the air hostess most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, like a little half an hour here, it just sort of... The time goes a bit quicker, but yes, obviously...
So boring on a long-haul flight, though, isn't it? They say do that and it rotate your ankles, but I don't know.
All a bit of that. The thing is, it's like... You think, like, normally, like, 10 hours goes quick, but on a flight, it seems to just take... You're looking at the clock, and you go, oh, another 7 hours to go, and...
And I'm an idiot. I watch the plane going across the screen. I mean, that is, like, just watch... I don't know why. Why do I do it? Alan, watch a movie. But I'm like, I want to see where that plane is. And it hasn't even gone past England.
I do like seeing the camera when you take off, because you can see the cameras, can't you, certain times. Yeah. But I wouldn't watch the actual in-flight thing. I like to see a movie or, like... I end up watching, normally, like, a series of, like... You know, the BBC, like, old classic, like, old comedies and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sort of 40 Towers or something, but... Yeah, long-haul flights, I don't enjoy them, but you just got to crack on, man, especially with the kids.
I've said this before, though, but sometimes I've been on a plane and they've had my comedy routine on there and you're just looking to see if people are watching it. A, if they're watching it, B, if they're laughing. I get in a right mood if no one's laughing. I thought, I've just watched it for 10 minutes, I haven't heard anything. I just need to move on. Right, here we go. Mozzigard or no thanks, Ahmad? Do you take Mozzigard? Are you quite good like that? Do you take your plasters and your Compede?
We always take the spray, but I don't think it works. I've never had a mosquito repellent that's actually was...
I still
get bitten loads. They still love it. They don't, like, leave you forever.
No, I had the spray on and I had the coil thing. Still got beaten. I was like bubble wrap all up my legs with the bites.
Costa Rica was bad for that, yeah, and Panama as well, because like it's just really humid and you just get all those little kind of ticks and gnats and things everywhere. But no, I'll take it, but Rosie probably used it more than me.
Nudist or no way?
I couldn't do that. I was watching that show last night for the first time, you know, what? Naked Attraction.
Oh my God.
Because I was up quite late last night, it's about midnight, and I just can't believe people stand there in the butt nude. It's my biggest fear.
Oh.
Do you know what I think?
My God, yeah. And then they have to go to work the next day. Did you see that Brummie woman? She operates the organ at the church. And she's like, oh, like, she says, I love someone to play with me fanny with the feet.
That's why I just... Was...
And then she has to go and work in the church on a Sunday. Come by, yeah. My
they,
Lord.
They choose the person, don't they, obviously, based on what they see.
I know.
And then next minute you know, they walk out butt naked too and you've got to stand... I don't know, I just think, for me, public nudity is like a big... That's a big fear of mine.
Yeah, oh, I know, no. I mean, you can't do it. I mean, and then it's just the work the next day. Hello, love, what did you do? Oh, I did a TV show. They asked me to do the celebrity version.
What, and stand naked?
I said, no chance. I'm not that.
Because they propagize, they go like, oh, your balls are a bit saggy. They're a bit... And they're just like, describing it like... If you're confident, that's fine. But if it knock, it could proper knock your confidence going on there,
well,
couldn't it?
I think that's closing the door after the horse has bolted if you've gone on Naked Attraction already. You know what I mean? I'm not that confident. I might take all my clothes off. St. Lucia or St. Ives?
Is St. Ives Cornwall?
Yeah.
I'd have to go to St. Lucia because I love the Caribbean. And my brother went to Sugar Bay or something it's called. He went over there, but yeah.
Is it called Jade Mountain? Where the birds are flying around and there's hummingbirds.
Yeah, there's like a bay and there's a mountain. Yeah, he stayed there.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, he said, I've never been, but I think that'd be, I do like that Caribbean style with, you know, the cocktails and all that pina coladas flying about.
Yeah, and the food's always great as well, isn't it? Okay, last question, tip 'em or fuck 'em? Are you a good tipper?
Oh, this is a big thing for me. I've always, I've always struggled with this because I'm so generous, and when I'm with people that don't tip, it really upsets me. Mm. And I'm always saying to Rosie, look, we can afford to give that guy a nice tip, like give him 25%. And I think in the US, it's so accustomed, you're used to doing it. But even when I come back here, like I say to Rosie, that person's like created this wonderful meal. They've all worked together to bring that to us. So be generous. And I think now it's taken a while, but now, you know, she understands that always tip, always, because you can, and it means a lot, especially in the US. They get such low pay that them tips is how they survive.
Yeah, but they take the piss over there. I mean, I went to stay at a hotel, and then the man got me a sun lounge, and then held his hand out. I thought, well, what the hell are you doing here? I've got to tip you to get me a bloody sun lounge. I won't be in tight, but I'm like, why the hell are you here for?
Yeah, there's a lot of tipping going on over there. You've got to just be ready. You've got to have a few, you know, $10.
You make it rain. I make it rain in the foyer.
I'm a big tipper, and I think, you know, I've worked in a bar before, and I remember like thinking it was like you're just desperate, you're so excited to get those tips in the night, and you look around, you've got like £7, and you're like, oh, that was a bit of a established shit.
Thank you so much, Joe.
I've loved it. What a great chat. Well, look, thanks for having me on as a guest, and I'd love to go on all over you one day.
Oh my God, well, let's go to St. Lucia. Woo woo! I'll get Beachbody ready first.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
Oh, I love that chat. Thank you so much. And don't forget, guys, get some sleep if you want to be beach body ready. I'm off now to make those fish tacos because they look absolutely gorgeous. Listen, please give us a 5-star review. I will not accept anything less than 5-star. And if you hate the podcast, why are you still here, you loser? Piss off! Love's a beach!